right, welcome to another deep dive with us. So, you know the drill by now. You send us stuff that has you hooked, and we kind of take a magnifying glass to it, pull out the juicy bits, you know? And this time, well, you guys went big. The original Star Wars trilogy, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, the whole shebang.
The holy trilogy.
Exactly. We're going off of this blogger's post. It was actually their 5,000th post. Can you believe that? Talk about dedication. Anyway, they did this whole breakdown of the trilogy, what connects them, where they veer off, and, you know, some of the, shall we say, less graceful moments along the way.
The goofs and gaffes. Everyone loves a good blooper reel.
Right. And what's cool is this isn't some super serious film critic thing. It's just someone who clearly adores these films, has watched them countless times, and has picked up on all these fascinating little details.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's their perspective.
A fan's deep dive.
Exactly. And you know us, we love that kind of passion. So let's jump in. First things first, the fundamentals. What are the threads that weave these three films together? The blogger starts with the characters, and it's hard to argue with that. Luke, Leia, Han, Chewie, the droids. I mean, think about it. R2-D2 and C-3PO are literally in every single scene across all three movies.
Now, that is impressive. Talk about a consistent presence.
Right. You have Obi-Wan Kenobi coming back in Jedi as a Force ghost. Darth Vader, always lurking. Lando swings in for Empire and sticks around. And even good old Wedge Antilles pops up in all three. It really is this core group that carries you through the whole saga.
Oh, absolutely. They're the heart of it all. You know, you get attached to them, their journeys, their relationships. Seeing them face this massive galaxy-wide conflict, it creates this sense of, well, consistency. It lets their stories unfold naturally.
And speaking of that conflict, that's the other big connective tissue, right? The Rebel Alliance against the Galactic Empire. Every film boils down to that fight, that classic struggle of freedom versus tyranny.
It's the David and Goliath story, but with, like, X-Wings and Death Stars, and it provides the stakes, the backdrop for all the individual dramas and the heroic moments.
And then, of course, you have the glue that binds it all, the Force. From Obi-Wan's first mention of it in A New Hope to Luke's journey of understanding and ultimately mastering it, this energy field connecting everything with its light and dark sides, it's there throughout.
It's more than just, you know, space magic that lets you move stuff with your mind. It's about destiny, morality, the interconnectedness of the universe. It adds that layer of, well, almost spirituality to the whole thing.
You can't forget about the music either. John Williams, absolute legend. His score isn't just background music. It's a character in itself.
Yeah.
Those themes, they instantly take you to that galaxy. It's like emotional shorthand.
Yeah, Williams' score, it's Star Wars. It's what makes those big moments hit you right in the feels.
For sure. Now, the blogger also delves into the visual side. They talk about techniques used across the trilogy, like double exposure, which was how they made those ships look like they were flying through space. Basically, filming one thing, rewinding the film, filming over it, and stop-motion animation, especially for the AT-ATs and Empire.
Pretty ingenious, huh? Especially before CGI was everywhere.
Oh, yeah. There's a certain charm to those older effects, you know? And then think about the merchandising. That blew up after A New Hope. Those Kenner action figures. Man, everyone wanted a piece of that galaxy.
And that's what kept Star Wars alive, you know, outside the movies. It became this whole cultural phenomenon. You could have your own little piece of it.
Totally. And of course, there are the inspirations that went into A New Hope that probably influenced the whole trilogy. Flash Gordon serials, Kurosawa's Hidden Fortress, Joseph Campbell's Hero with 1,000 Faces.
Yeah, and it's cool to see how George Lucas took those influences and made something totally new and exciting. It's like understanding the recipe behind a delicious dish.
Right, see where it all came from. One last thing on similarities. The titles. Apparently, they weren't always set in stone. A New Hope wasn't always Episode 4, A New Hope. And even Return of the Jedi almost went with Revenge of the Jedi for a bit.
No, Revenge of the Jedi has a ring to it, huh? It's a reminder that even these iconic things went through changes, you know?
Totally. Okay, so those are the foundations. Now, where do these films start to go their separate ways? The blogger dives into some key differences. First up, the directors. George Lucas did A New Hope, Irvin Kershner took on Empire Strikes Back, and then Richard Marquand for Return of the Jedi, though Lucas was still very involved, obviously.
It's fascinating to see how each director brought their own style to the table.
It really is.
Yeah.
Like, Kershner definitely brought this darker, more mature vibe to Empire, and Marquand, with Jedi, maybe went for a more, I don't know, accessible tone?
Yeah, a bit lighter, perhaps.
Which brings us to the overall tone of each film. A New Hope, you know, it's a classic adventure story.
Mm-hmm.
Then Empire, it gets pretty heavy. with losses, betrayals, that whole I am your father bombshell. And Jedi, while wrapping things up, it has this more, well, hopeful feel.
Some might even say geared a bit more towards a younger audience.
Yeah, maybe a little. Then there's the character development. We see Luke go from farm boy to, well, a Jedi, right?
Mm.
Han and Leia's relationship evolves. And we get big new players like Yoda and the Emperor. It's a much bigger picture.
Oh, yeah. Those characters, their struggles, their triumphs. It's what makes you care, keeps you invested. And Yoda and the Emperor, they take the whole conflict to a whole new level.
Visually, too, things change. Our blogger pointed out the increasing use of puppets and creatures, especially in Jedi with Jabba's palace and the Ewoks.
Mm.
That was a bit much, honestly.
Yeah, the Ewoks, a bit of a divisive element there.
Definitely. But it's interesting, isn't it, how the visuals and creatures contribute to the feel of each film.
For sure. It's all part of the experience.
Right. And the scope of the story just explodes, right? From a rescue mission in A New Hope to a full-blown galactic rebellion and that final showdown with the Emperor and Jedi. It's a huge jump in scale.
Each film builds on the last. More complex plots, bigger challenges. It makes sense for a story of this magnitude.
Now, this is where things get interesting. Errors and continuity. Apparently, the blogger felt Return of the Jedi had the most slip-ups of the three. We'll get into specifics, but I'm curious, why do you think the last film might stand out in that way?
Well, maybe it was just bigger, more complex, more moving parts, more chances for things to, well, slip through the cracks.
Yeah, could be. Another thing. Title sequences. Empire Strikes Back jumps right in. No opening crawl. Just straight to the action.
Really sets the mood, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
Boom, you're right back in the thick of things.
And lastly, the endings. A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Celebration. Empire. Oh, cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Jedi. Happy ending. The blogger even mentioned that the original idea for Jedi had Luke walking off into the sunset alone.
Really? Wow, that would have been different.
Totally different vibe. Okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty. The errors and all the weird little things the blogger caught. Continuity errors, for example. In A New Hope, C-3PO's chest markings seem to move around. R2-D2's all over Tatooine, almost like he's teleporting. Things on the table during Leia's message change places.
Ah, the classic continuity issues. It happens, especially with films this big. I mean, they're switching camera angles, using different takes. It's easy to miss small details.
Yeah, makes sense. Empire has its share, too. Luke's rebel symbol flip sides. The Wampa looks a bit different in some shots.
Probably because they used a mix of puppets and costumes, right?
Right. And then there are ships with no shadows and one ATA that just gets crushed super quickly.
Well, they have to make it dramatic, right?
Exactly. But apparently Jedi, that's where the continuity gremlins really had a party. Like, Luke's lightsaber changes color on some posters. The Rancor pit entrance looks different sizes. Lando's gloves disappear and reappear. It's a whole thing.
Sounds like they had their hands full with that one.
For sure. Then there are the visual oddities. In A New Hope, you can actually see the wires holding up C-3PO in some scenes. A boom mic dips into the shot at one point. You see what look like identical X-Wings, like they just copied and pasted them. And get this, there's a supposed Playboy poster on a wall in the Tant of the Fifth.
Playboy, seriously? Now I gotta go back and watch it again, see if I can spot it.
Oh, you definitely have to. Empire gives us Peter Mayhew's thumb poking out of the Wampa suit.
Oh, that's kind of sweet, actually. A little reminder that there's a human under all that fur.
Human error. It's endearing. And in Jedi, an Ewok with no eyes, the Emperor's throne with its mechanics showing, some creatures that look a lot more like, well, puppets.
I guess sometimes the technology just couldn't quite keep up with the ideas.
Yeah, especially back then. Sound and dialogue had their moments, too. A New Hope. Some clunky dialogue here and there, and C-3PO knowing more about Leia than he should at one point.
Maybe 3PO had a better memory than we give him credit for.
Maybe. And then Jedi, a scene where Leia shoots her blaster and silence, no sound effect, happens to the best of them. Now, here's where things get kind of meta. Inconsistencies that almost predict the prequels, what the blogger calls retcons, like, they mention Yoda being called Obi-Wan's master, which doesn't quite line up with what we learn later.
Yeah, the prequels definitely threw a wrench in some of the established lore.
Right. And then there's Leia's memories of her mother, which are very vague. And some things about R2-D2's history that don't quite add up.
It's like they were writing the story as they went along, filling in the gaps later.
Makes sense, actually. And of course, we can't forget about the Han Shot first debate. Did he shoot Greedo first, or did Greedo get a shot off? It changes between versions of the film.
Oh, yeah. That's the big one. Everyone has an opinion on that. And then there's the whole Kessel Run thing. Han bragging about doing it in less than 12 parsecs, which doesn't really make sense.
All right. Parsecs are distance, not time. Unless there's some hyperspace shortcut we don't know about.
Gotta leave room for some fan theories, right?
Always. Oh, and one last thing. The blogger pointed out the whole stormtrooper aim thing. You know, how they're always missing.
Yeah, the most feared army in the galaxy. Can't hit the broadside of a Bantha.
It's a classic running gag at this point. So, out of all of this, what did our blogger think were the biggest problems? Surprisingly, it wasn't the little continuity errors or the visual stuff. They were bothered by the CGI changes in the special editions of New Hope, like the added Jabba the Hutt scene, the extra creatures in Mos Eisley, that rock in front of R2-D2.
Yeah, those special edition changes are controversial, to say the least. Some people love them, others not so much.
Understatement of the century. The blogger also felt Jedi was too childish compared to Empire, too commercial.
I mean, the Ewoks.
Yeah, the Ewoks. And the fact that they blew up another Death Star? A bit repetitive.
Fair point.
And the last thing that bugged them, the inconsistencies between the original trilogy and the prequels, like the retcons we talked about.
Tough to keep a consistent story across so many films, I guess.
Definitely. So what's the takeaway from all this? Well, the original Star Wars trilogy is this incredible blend of, you know, consistency and change. It's all tied together by these iconic characters, the epic conflict, the force, the music, and those classic visual effects. But each film also has its own personality.
Its own director, tone, story. It's what makes it so rewatchable.
Exactly. And then you have all these little errors, the weird details, the things that fans debate endlessly.
It's part of what makes these films so special. They spark conversations, theories, it's engagement.
Exactly. Just goes to show, no matter how many times you've seen something, there's always something new to discover. Even in, well, Star Wars.
Always something to notice, to ponder.
So here's a question for everyone listening.
Yeah.
Of everything we've discussed, the good, the bad, the weird, what single thing across any of the three films stands out to you the most, and why? Until next time, may the Force be with you.